Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the day after the recall election. It's the 6th of June. As promised, we will talk about what we did yesterday, how we voted in this state, why we voted the way we did. We'll talk a little bit about what's behind the numbers and the latter part of the program, how it is we can listen to each other and have civil discourse in the days ahead. We're going to have three guests with us during the course of the conversation. Mike Boucher will be joining us at the top of the show from Marquette University, where he is a distinguished professor of public policy and has been hosting the Upfront with Mike Boucher program, which is seen statewide. He, of course, was the moderator of the gubernatorial debate last week. Mike has been in news in this state for a long period of time and is highly respected for his knowledge and the way he conducts interviews. He will be with us momentarily. Later in the hour, the big question, one that the governor brought up yesterday and Mayor Barrett brought up yesterday, was how it is we can listen to each other. What do we do about this deeply divided state? How do we work together? We'll have two guests with us, two state senators. Democrat Tim Cullen will be joining us and Republican Dale Schultz. And these are two members of the Senate who have been talking to each other for a long period of time. And we'll be welcoming your phone calls. I would imagine we'll have more than a few this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. And you can always leave messages on our Facebook page, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Mike Boucher, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning to you.
Are you taking a deep breath and moving on with maybe a long run today? It's been a long haul, hasn't it?
It sounds good. Actually, a long run sounds like a good thing to do right now. It has been quite a stretch.
It has really been quite a stretch. Craig Gilbert in today's paper is saying that this election looks remarkably, more people voted, but a lot like the 2010 Walker victory for governor. Would you agree with that?
I think that's a very accurate assessment of what happened yesterday. For an election that is historic, it does bear some resemblance to others in the past, other than the fact that the turnout for a gubernatorial election was far higher yesterday than other gubernatorial elections have been.
And yet the turnout, people were saying it was weird to watch analysis. I watched a lot of television last night, and before people were saying it's going to be 65%, it's going
right.
to be presidential in nature. The exit polls were way off yesterday, unbelievably so. But it was a high election, but it was not close to a presidential election.
No, in 2008 in Wisconsin, we had a turnout of just under 70%. And yesterday, I think when it's all said and done, we'll be talking about more along the lines of 57%. But again, you have to put that in context. As I mentioned, for a gubernatorial election, that's a record-breaking turnout. I think the last record was dates all the way back to 1962. I think we had 52% for a gubernatorial election. So there was obviously a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy yesterday, but not at the levels we saw in 2008, at least in terms of turnout.
I know that you keep a careful eye on what's going on all over the state, and I appreciate that. What did you see in terms of where votes were coming from, in terms of enthusiasm, who really turned out for this election and who didn't?
Well, I think if you looked at the map that we had on the air last night at WISN, it was a very red map. Scott Walker performed very well throughout much of the state, winning some states by very large margins. I mean, some counties by very large margins. I think when it was all said and done, I think he won all but 12 of the counties in Wisconsin last night. Some things were predictable. The margin that Tom Barrett racked up in places like Milwaukee County and Dane County, where he got roughly 70% of the vote, that was to be expected. Tom Barrett did okay in a place like La Crosse County, which has tended to trend a bit more Democratic in the last couple of years. But beyond that, there were not a lot of success stories. And the thing that jumped out at me was the very high levels of turnout in certain rock-solid Republican counties like the collar counties around Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, Waukesha, and Racine, and the margins that the governor piled up in those in those counties. I mean, Washington County was, I think, over 75%. The same was true for Waukesha County. And that makes it very difficult. You've got to do better than just win Milwaukee. In today's politics, you've got to do better than just win Milwaukee County and Dane County, because there are a whole bunch of other places that are strongly Republican right now.
And to what do you attribute, Mike, the lack of success stories for the Democrats here?
Well, let me approach it this way, Kathleen. There were several things that struck me about this election, and they're not so much necessarily all about the Democrats. Some of them are about the Republicans. But first, I think you had an extremely energized Republican Party. The fact that they felt Scott Walker needed to remain in office was a singularly motivating factor for people to go to the polls, and they went to the polls in very strong numbers yesterday. I thought the fact that the GOP, the national party, was all in on this race, and the same cannot be said for the Democratic National Party. You can't underestimate the importance of money. There was an overwhelming financial advantage for the governor in this race, and he and his campaign used it effectively to portray Tom Barrett as someone who had been a failed leader of the state's largest city. I thought that the Democrats, I think that they will go back and look at this, and there will be some discussion about whether they failed to articulate a clear vision for the future. How would they have balanced the budget when we faced a $3.6 billion deficit? How would they create jobs? What would they do differently? And that was one of the hallmarks of the Walker campaign. They raised those questions. They said, Tom Barrett doesn't have an answer for those questions. Now, the mayor feels he does, but the question is whether it was clearly articulated to voters out there. They had to know what they were voting for rather than what they were voting against. And finally, I think exit polls have demonstrated that there was some discomfort on the part of the voting public with the recall itself. That there were some people who just feel that recall should be more strictly limited, that maybe they should only apply to cases of malfeasance in office, misconduct in office, that sort of thing. So I think there was some discomfort with that. Some people who strongly disagree with the policies of the governor, but who still feel that he has the right to make policy decisions and that a recall is not necessarily the best thing to be doing. So I think there were a number of factors that played into what happened yesterday.
As you well know, you've been in this state for a long time and covered politics pretty seriously for a long time. This state remains incredibly deeply divided. Let's listen briefly to something that the governor said yesterday, and later we'll listen to a little bit of what the mayor said yesterday. The governor was talking about perhaps moving too quickly to fix things in the state. Here is Governor Walker from last night's victory speech.
Next week, I'm going to invite all the members of the state legislature, Republican and Democrat alike. And what better way to bring people together than to invite them over for some brats and some burgers, right?
He talked about the brats and the burgers, and we'll talk about that. But he also talked about what he had learned as a result of all the divisiveness in this state for quite a long period of time.
I've learned much over the last year and a half. There's no doubt about it. You know, early in 2011, I rushed in to try and fix things before I talked about them. Because, you see, for years, too many politicians I'd seen, not only in Madison, but in Washington and beyond, talked about things but never fixed them. Well, but I want to tell you, looking ahead, we know it's important to do both. Looking ahead to tackle the challenges that face all of the people of Wisconsin, we're both going to be committed to talking together about how to solve problems, and then working together, we're going to move forward with the solutions that put our state back on the right track towards more freedom and more prosperity for all of our people.
All right, Mike, considering how deeply divided this state is and people feel very strongly about their side of the issue, how in the world is everybody going to be brought together to listen to each other?
Well, it's a great question, and I think both Governor Walker and Mayor Barrett conceded last night that there are deep divisions and they will take time to heal. I think the challenge here is going to be, how do you heal in a time of more elections? It's not as if the election season is over.
Isn't it?
No, we move on. We move on to the Senate race, and I expect that Senate race to replace the retiring Senator Herb Kohl will be a very intense one.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a presidential election where Wisconsin, by all accounts, again, will be a battleground state. It will be a state that is fought over, and you can expect it too, to be a very intense discussion of two different philosophies of government. So I think that's going to be the challenge. I do agree that I think people in this state, there is a weariness and a desire to somehow find a way to work together. But the fact of the matter is we are in an election year. It's a presidential election year. And I think that's going to make it a bit more difficult to find that common ground that that so many people in this state want.
Do you imagine that most of the legislators in Wisconsin will say yes to an invitation for brats and hamburgers and beer?
I have no idea. I can't speak for the lawmakers. I don't see personally what would be the harm in a free beer and a brat. as a longtime Wisconsinite, that sounds like a decent offer. You know, free beer and free brat. But I don't know. And again, I think there are some lingering hard feelings about all of this. But I think it's the governor's trying to reach out and say let's try to start anew and see how we can move forward together. So we'll see what kind of reception that offer gets.
We have a full bank of phone lines, as you might imagine. We'll go to them. 800-486-8655 is our number. We also, if you'd like, you can use talk@WPR.org or go to the Kathleen Dent Show and leave a message on Facebook. Rich in Rhinelander, our first caller. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Our governor says that the people need freedom and prosperity, and I say the people of Wisconsin will feel free when there is prosperity. He says he can fix things. That's great. We need jobs. And so I guess on the basis of to those to whom much is given, much will be required or expected, he said he's going to bring jobs to the state of Wisconsin. He advertised during this campaign that he was being highly successful at that. And so I'm sort of ironically happy that he won, because now let's hold him to that test. He can either bring prosperity to the state of Wisconsin or he cannot. And politics is cyclical. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich, for the call. Dwight in Milwaukee. Hi.
Actually, it's me, Boyd Kathleen.
Oh, hi, Boyd.
Hi, Mike. Well, you know, I found out a little something interesting last night. When you talked about the national election, even though it was, for better or for worse, a resounding victory for Walker, NBC, if you believe what they said, exit polls had said that it was actually for Obama, regardless of the direction maybe the state is going in some ways, he has a clear advantage over Romney. And I think when that becomes more of an issue, I don't think Romney, who is not really popular with the entire Republican Party, I think they're going to focus more on their base. And if they can get Wisconsin, great. But I regardless of how Walker did, I don't think it will be front and center. And I still think even a lot of people who voted for Walker are going to vote for Obama in November.
Mike.
Well, that's an interesting point. As you pointed out, Kathleen, I work as a fellow over at Marquette Law School, and one of the things we've been doing all this year is polling, pretty extensive polling.
Mm-hmm.
And the point that was just made is something that we've seen time and again in our poll. Scott Walker outperforms Mitt Romney in this state. In fact, in our last poll, which was done about 10 days out from this election, while we had Walker up 52-45, I think, in our final poll, we had Obama up, I believe, by a slightly larger margin. And people say, well, how could that be? But we've seen it consistently throughout this year. The president outperforms the Democratic candidate, and the governor outperforms the Republican candidate for president. So it's an interesting situation. Mitt Romney has work to do here. I don't think there's any question about that. Republicans see what happened last night is a good jumping off point for them, that this energizes their base, that this at least holds open the possibility that Mitt Romney could do well in Wisconsin. But I will say the Democrats, I think in the last week or so, the Obama campaign has is more often referred to Wisconsin as expected to be a toss-up state, and that's a little bit of a change from the way they felt about this even a month ago. So I think Wisconsin will be competitive. The question is, can Mitt Romney put together as successful a campaign as the governor did? And so far, at least in early polling, it shows that he still has some work to do on that front.
Your poll from Marquette was remarkably accurate. The polls that were way off yesterday were the exit polls from all the major national news operations. What went wrong with those?
You know, I don't know. I was not part of the exit polling process. I will tell you that the people I have a great deal of respect for who do political reporting for a living, thought earlier in the evening, based on the exit polls, it would be a long night.
Right.
There would be no projections until deep into the evening. And boom, then shortly before 9 o'clock, there were projections. So I don't know exactly what happened. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions asked on that front, because the exit polling information that I did see indicated a very much of a split. And so there will be a serious questions asked, I'm sure, after yesterday. That's not the kind of thing that you want to go on the air and be talking about with some authority and then find out later that the margin was not what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, not at all. Mike Ushay, our guest this part of the program, distinguished fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University, host of Upfront, the statewide television show. Then you probably saw him. Well, he's done a show since then, but he also moderated the gubernatorial debate last week at the law school. More phone calls momentarily. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike Ushay, our guest for a little while longer. Later in the hour, we will be speaking with State Senators Tim Cullen and Dale Schultz about how we heal political wounds in Wisconsin. You may recall a few weeks ago after we interviewed, who was it, Bill Bradley? Was it Bill Bradley? And then I can't remember. We do so many shows. I think it was Bill Bradley. And then the second part of the program, we spoke with, yes, the head of the Wisconsin Council of Churches. And they were beginning a civility campaign in the state of Wisconsin. And that particular guest mentioned State Senators Tim Cullen and Dale Schultz as being two people who were moderate and could speak to each other and could perhaps heal a divide. So we thought, well, we should have them on sometime. And today seemed like a perfect day, so they will join us later this hour. More phone calls for Mike Ushay. Mike in Appleton, hi.
Yeah, good morning. I think one of the most interesting numbers, and, you know, we're all looking at polls and what happened, but one of the most interesting numbers is the absolute massive exodus that has been from union workers from the unions now that they, you know, are, as soon as it turned voluntary, the contributions, they just disappeared.
Mike.
That's been an interesting story. It's been reported, there's been a fair amount of reporting on it in the last week. One of the interesting parts of that equation is that I think for the public employee unions, right now the battle is to continue to have relevance in the political arena, continue to play an important role and have an important voice in the political arena. And the changes in collective bargaining, frankly, have made that job a little bit more difficult for the unions. So it's an interesting point and one that's been made by a number of different publications. There have been some disagreements about the numbers of and exactly what they say about union membership, but I don't think there's any disagreement that the membership is down for a number of the more prominent public employee unions in the state.
Hmm. Do you have any behind-the-scenes stories from last week's gubernatorial debate? Was it a tense affair? Were people pleasant to each other?
Well, I thought it was, I've described it as a spirited but civil exchange of views. I think both men were forceful at times in the debate, and yes, there were some moments, I think, where you could hear a pin drop in the room. So I thought, from a viewer standpoint, you got to see them in a different environment, and I think they each scored some points and did well at times. Off the air, you know, these things are kind of remarkable, Kathleen. I've done a number of them in my life, and you know, we had they have to make sure camera shots are great, audio checks are done, and so you have this 20 minutes or so before the debate, this 20 minutes of awkward chit-chat between two men who are nearing the end of the campaign. They're probably just more than a little tired of each other at that point. But it was incredibly friendly, civil, talked a lot about families, talked about unusual experiences on the campaign trail. It was good to see. I don't think the room would have particularly cared to see two men who couldn't even stand to talk to each other. It was an interesting evening, and I think both of them afterwards felt good about their performance. They felt that they'd had a good chance to say what they think about the future direction of the state.
Well, my congratulations to you. It was not an easy task, and I really think you did a wonderful job in that debate. And I know that sentiment is shared by many, many people.
Well, I appreciate it. It's one of those things, Kathleen. You get some positive feedback, you get some negative feedback. It's the world as it is today, and I understand that. And I try and listen to the good things, and I try and listen to the more critical things. So, but I appreciate your feedback.
Roland in Eau Claire, hi.
Good morning. I like to say no to civility. What Governor Walker did when he gilded our unions is he took away our place at the table. And we can give no quarter to this man and his people. I suggest that unions get together and find out how many of our members would be willing to go out on a strike in September and October. Forget about civility and start thinking about winning. The polls show that at least 50% of the people support bargaining rights in this state, and that would be the only issue, the only single issue. But if we're not willing to do that, then we lose everything. And I think that would make a very interesting fall campaign if we closed down schools and public services in September and October. We would need about 20 or 30% of our members to make that happen. So I say, let's go out on strike.
Thanks for the call, Roland. Mike?
I'm not sure that I can add a lot to that. It is an example, though, I think, of the strong sentiment that still exists among some in public employee unions in particular who are just not happy with the governor and won't be happy and feel that what he did is just unforgivable. So I think that's just an example of that sentiment.
Ruth in Milton. Hi, Ruth.
Yes. One of the several references to God in General Walker's speech last night stood out, the abundance of God. Curious, when he and his mining company are intent upon filling the Lake Superior Delta tributaries, harming the waterways and the people who are dependent upon the environmental health in that area. What about his untrue claims that he lowered property taxes? Distasteful that he uses his God to cover his dishonest intentions.
A couple issues there. Let's start with the mining issue. Well, that's been a contentious issue and a difficult one. I'll have Dale Schultz talk about that as well. Do you imagine that's going to be front and center, that issue again, Mike?
I think it's still something that the governor would like to see get done. The question is, can it get done before November? And I'm not sure if there's any chance for a special session on that. You'd have to see some movement, I think, within the legislative delegations to indicate that's worth pursuing. And frankly, have to see whether the mining company is still interested in it. So I think that's a bit iffy, but I'm sure both Senators Cullen and Schultz have a better handle on that than I do.
Mm-hmm. And what about these, the John Doe is still around. What about that? Do you expect movement on that sometime this summer or not?
I really don't know what to expect on that. And I would imagine that the governor, as much as anyone, would like to know what kind of timeline is involved in here, how long this thing goes, and because it is a distraction. And so I think all of us in the media and you know, as citizens are interested in what happens next in this, and are we at the tail end of it? Are we in the middle of it? Does it amount to a lot? Does it amount to not so much? I think a lot of us are waiting for answers, and I'm sure the governor is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to an email here. Michael on Facebook writes, we talked a little bit about this, but I wonder how prevalent this feeling was. I don't support Walker, didn't vote for him in 2010, and don't plan on voting for him in 2014, but I voted for him yesterday because I oppose the use of the recall, and I know of at least one Democrat who actually voted for Barrett in 2010 who said that he would be voting the same way as me and for the same reason.
Yeah, that was, again, according to the exit polls, if you believe them based on yesterday, according to the exit polls, that was a sentiment that was expressed fairly often, that people had some misgivings about the way the recall was being used. I mean, the recall in this state, everybody knows it dates back to the 1920s, and it is one of the more, flexible recall laws in the country, where it can be used for a variety of things. It does not have to be malfeasance in office. But I think that is an issue that will get some attention here in the not-too-distant future. It would require a change in the Constitution. But a lawmaker, the Republican Robin Voss, who's one of the folks on Joint Finance, he's made it quite clear that he thinks that the law needs to be narrowed. It needs to be used recalls need to be used only in cases of malfeasance in office. So I would expect to see some legislative initiative on that front. I don't think that what you heard from that person in that email is all that different than what some other people feel. And I've had lifelong Democrats, prominent members of the Democratic Party, at least a couple of them say to me that they too had some misgivings about this because they felt that they just weren't sure that this was a good road to be traveling down very often.
Mm-hmm. And just before we say goodbye to you and go to the state senators, you've been covering politics, national, state, for a long time now. Put it in some kind of historical reference for us, Mike. What do you think about all this? It really is something, isn't it? It's a large event in this state.
It really is. The state has fundamentally been changed, and the people of this state will probably continue to have a conversation about whether that's good or bad. But make no mistake about it, the state has been fundamentally changed. And a number of these changes will not be reversed overnight. They won't be something that's just a temporary change. To me, I was asked to give a speech, Kathleen, and I guess I'll put it this way, back at the University of Iowa in November of last year.
Oh, really?
And they asked me to talk about what was happening in Wisconsin. And I said, I'd be glad to do that. You have a couple of days for the conversation. But bottom line was, I tried to put into context what had happened in the state in a mere 9 months. That was 9 months ago. And it stunned me at just what had happened in the state, how many different huge developments had happened in the state. And then I'm thinking the other day, and that was in November. Think about what's happened since November. For those of us who are in the day-to-day fray of this, either covering it, the people who gathered the petitions, the people who fought against the recall, it's easy to sort of lose sight. You're in the day-to-day. It's easy to lose sight of the magnitude of what has happened here. But we have lived through historic times, and it'll be interesting to see how history writes about this in 30 or 40 years from now.
Yeah, it sure will. Mike, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always good to talk with you, Kathleen.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Mike Gaucher with us this first part of the program, talking about what's behind what happened. It's a lot that's behind what happened yesterday. He is Distinguished Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University, host of Upfront, statewide television broadcast with Mike Gaucher, and most recently came to great prominence as a result of, this was broadcast all over the country and the world, I guess. There were international people there at the gubernatorial debate last week at Marquette University. We're going to continue our conversation. Both the governor in his reelection speech and Mayor Tom Barrett talked about working together. And these two senators were mentioned on a program that we did a few weeks ago when the Wisconsin Council of Churches started a campaign, a civility campaign. And I know we've talked a lot about civility and the lack of it in the state of Wisconsin. These two senators are both highly respected, and they get along with each other and even work with each other. And we thought, well, let's have them on the air. And today seemed like a perfect day to do just that. State Senators Tim Cullen and Del Schultz will be joining us momentarily, and we'll be welcoming more of your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Let me introduce Republican State Senator Dale Schultz from the 17th District in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Senator Schultz, for being with us.
Well, good morning. I'm delighted to be with you this morning.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. You're going to be given the charge of healing the state in the next 20 minutes.
Well, it's, I think the sooner we get to doing it, the better.
Okay, great. And State Senator Tim Cullen from the 15th District is also our guest. Hello, Senator Cullen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
We played a clip earlier on with Mike Gushue of the governor last night talking about inviting people to the beer and brat and maybe a beer at the governor's residence next week. Is that a good idea? We have heard that people don't get together to talk to each other. I know the two of you do. Is it time for everybody else to talk to each other? And what can you accomplish over a hamburger or a brat? Senator, well, Senator, whoever wants to
well,
go first.
This is Tim.
Okay.
That's always a good start. You don't pass legislation there, but you have to start talking to someone and understanding that they're not evil because they're in the other party. And that kind of event, I think, is a good start. I mean, the more substantive thing that has to follow then is a discussion of the issues and our differences on some bills and so on. But that's a long overdue start, and I'll be there.
Good. Senator Schultz, will you be there?
Well, I certainly plan on being there. And I guess I'd like to say that, you know, this is the second step. Last night, the first steps were taken by both Mayor Barrett and Governor Walker when they sort of, quieted their most boisterous supporters down, who wanted to keep fighting, and made it clear that they want to work together, and they want to find a way forward. So I think that was, a very good sign last night. The governor followed up with this idea of getting people together. Do I think if Kumbaya is going to break out immediately? No. But as Tim said, getting together is an important first step, and understanding that you know we're all people and that we're all family is the way you begin a process of working together. And so I'm delighted to see that development. It's pretty clear to me from the election results, despite the fact that, you know, for me there wasn't any surprise in this election, and nor was the vote total unexpected. What was very interesting to me was, you know, the actual depth of dislike of recalls.
Yes.
That's the only way you can read that 18% who voted for Walker who say they're going to vote for Obama. To me, that's a clear sign that there's a solid group of people in this state who say, look, elections are about policy, and we need to give people a chance to implement their policy and see how they do. And there are people in both political parties that respect that. So, you know, I think if you look at that, and adjust the numbers, this state is still passionate. There's no doubt about that. But it's, very closely divided.
Senator Cullen, do you share the same concern about recalls?
Yes, I do. Exit polls show that 60% of the people who voted said that they did not think recalls were appropriate in this situation. And you have to think, a huge number of them voted for Governor Walker. Some voted for Mayor Barrett. I agree with what Dale said. I think the real test here, and we may not see it for the next few days because, after all, now the fall elections begin. There's
right.
primaries in August already. But I said before the polls closed that the key to today and forward was how did the winner interpret his victory? And I think I don't expect Governor Walker to say a lot of things immediately, but I would hope that he would look at this and say, the first thing that's clear is the people of Wisconsin want Governor Walker to continue to be their governor. That's the one clear thing from last night. But then why they voted for him and how they feel about the state, I think, is a little more muddied, and I hope he'll look at the exit polling and ask people, because clearly a lot of people voted for him because they thought he deserved a four-year term. That's not an endorsement of his policies. And there's other polling data which shows that 33% of Wisconsin consider themselves moderates. So to me, how he interprets his victory going forward is crucial. But the job of us in the legislature now is to try to figure out how to work together. Dale and I have no trouble working together, and it ought to be this easy for a whole lot of other people, too.
Well, why is it that the two of you can work together, Senator Schultz?
Well, I think that over the years, the legislature has gotten way more partisan, and this desire to have an efficient parliamentary sort of a system has empowered the extremes in both political party to sort of pick on people who are centrist and who want to work together. And we both came to the legislature originally at a very different time, and we developed a friendship, and that has obviously endured over the years. And besides, Tim is just a great guy.
And that, of course, is true, Senator Cullen, right?
Oh, yeah, that's one of the most accurate things I've ever heard. No, and so is Dale. I mean, people would be surprised. We get together. He's been to Germany several times, and I haven't. We spent one lunch hour just talking about Germany, or he was talking about Germany, and I was listening. I mean, we have a friendship, but we both are once majority leaders. And that, I think that gives us a perspective of how difficult it is to be a leader. And we've both been around for a while, and we've got districts that are not heavily one party or the other. So we have to go out, and I have to go out and talk and listen to Republicans in my district, and he has to go out and talk and listen to Democrats in his district. And I think that helps you when you get to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should put a plug in right here now. Mentioned to all the listeners that Tim and I will be doing a dairy business tour in Iowa County, Lafayette County, Greene, and Rock County. June is dairy month. We all know that agriculture and especially dairy are huge industries in Wisconsin, and we want to do our part to understand and to listen to dairy processors and to find out what we can do to create the kinds of jobs in this industry that are important, and also to set a good example for others.
Mm-hmm. And there's major farm legislation being considered nationally this year as well, isn't there?
There are going to be some real challenges. I listened to Tom Vilsack in Washington earlier this year indicate that he was prepared to work with both political parties and the president to reduce the size and scope of his agency and the programs, and that is going to be a real challenge. I know there are going to be an awful lot of people who are fearful about what the future looks like. But again, if we all remember we are a family and that we need to look out for one another, we'll get there. And that means reaching out to all the parties who are affected and listening to them first and foremost. And I think Secretary Vilsack did that at the leader summit that I attended, and I appreciated that, and hopefully we can all move forward together, right-sizing government at the federal and state level and doing it in a way that includes everybody.
Senator Cullen, what are the issues you think that the two parties can address and take action on? I mean, there are a lot of thorny issues with people who have wildly different ideas about how to proceed on certain education issues, on collective bargaining issues, on environmental issues, mining issues, you name it. How in the world can you get people with very disparaging points of view to get together to pass legislation that will be for the good of all?
Well, there's two bills. They've been talked about a lot. A venture capital bill could be put together. We were close last year. We were having meetings with Democrat and Republican senators that we weren't publicizing, we weren't violating open meeting laws, we weren't a quorum of anything. We were close. There's no question the legislature can agree on a venture capital bill if there's any kind of a will to do it. The philosophy and policy and philosophy are not barriers to passing a venture capital bill. It's just agreeing to get together and putting one together. And a mining bill, I believe, can pass. I mean, we have to remember that the mining company who was going to mine up in the Gugebic area up by Mellon, they never asked for any environmental changes. They wanted certainty in the process so that they didn't have to wait forever for a decision about whether they go forward. They wanted certainty, and bipartisanly, people were willing to give them certainty. They did not ask for environmental changes, and so that's a simple deal to be made on the mining bill, which is, give them certainty on the process and don't change environmental laws. And we can do that if there's a will. They're just it really got bogged down in Senate recall politics last spring, I think. I think recall politics are over. I believe, and I hope also, but I believe they're over for some period of time.
We'll welcome phone calls for both our guests. We have two state senators from different political parties joining us the last part of this hour as we look at the day after the vote. State Senator Tim Cullen and State Senator Dale Schultz, our guests. And here is our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We have some emails that have come in. That address is talk@wpr.org. And you can leave a message on the Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We started the hour with some comments from Governor Scott Walker about what he has learned over the last several months and how he wants to see people in the state and people in Madison particularly work together. Mayor Tom Barrett, in his concession speech last night, also talked about how we need to listen to each other. This is Mayor Barrett.
We are a state that has been deeply divided, and it is up to all of us, our side and their side, to listen to each other, and to try to do what's right for everyone in this state.
Mayor Tom Barrett last night. Let's go to Scott in Spring Green, our next caller for the state senators. Hi, Scott.
Yes, hi, Kathleen. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And it's a pleasure to speak with both of you senators today. I just want to commend the two of you on really presenting outstanding leadership in the state. And I think that that's what we need, especially since what I see is most problematic for leadership and most toxic for leadership in the state of Wisconsin is authoritarianism. And that's why I'm just concerned at this point, because I think regardless of what he's saying today, the governor has certainly proven himself to be a very pronounced authoritarian. And my concern in conjunction with this is that, well, if you subject an authoritarian to a recall vote, even if they are victorious, it does really constitute an ego insult. And so I'm concerned that just given the psychological ramifications of human nature, that again, regardless of what he says and how he's talking about wanting to move forward and to work together, that ultimately, down the line, we are going to see in subtle fashion gubernatorial retribution, because I just think it's basically in character. I mean, the real telltale was when the budget repair bill was not being published in the timely manner that the governor wanted, and he was, you know, toying with the machinations of government by essentially saying, well, we're going to change the Secretary of State position from one that is elected to one that is appointed. And that's really a true reflection of the authoritarian bent. And anyways, I'm concerned and interested in what both of you have to say.
Thank you, Scott. Senator Schultz, would you like to start, please?
Well, I guess my first thought is even Lazarus got a second chance. And I think all we can do is to listen to Governor Walker and hear his words, and time will tell. I would hope that people who harbor feelings that are, you know, sort of the flip side of this about many Democrats would give Peter Barca and Mayor Barrett a second chance to work together. You know, I understand the depth of the feelings on both sides from the base. But I don't think we can let that freeze us up, and nor am I suggesting people shouldn't keep a watchful eye about what any of us politicians do. But I, for one, think that this state showed very clearly last night that there is a solid middle. That's that 18% that you know, voted for Governor Walker out of a sense of fairness that he should be allowed to complete his term, but are obviously Democrats who are going to vote for Obama. So, you know, I understand the concerns and I hear those feelings often, but I think we need to rise above them, and I believe we can as a state, and I think we will.
Senator Cullen.
Well, I always think, hopefully, that I'm a little smarter today than I was 2 years ago or 10 years ago, and I think that's true of other people, and I'm an optimist. I always go back to something from way in the past, which is the famous President Richard Nixon goes to China. man who rose to the presidency, was an anti-communist, that was the one that went to China first and broke open that relationship between the two, started the relationship between the two countries. The last person in the world, if you'd watched his career, you would ever thought would have gone to China. So I go back to Governor Walker has to look at the results, look at the exit polling, and learn from this. I think, in my judgment anyway, this election was not an endorsement of all of his policies, which have been very far to the right. Certainly his base responded enormously tomorrow, but he racked up the margin of victory that he got to by the 18% Dale talked about, and about this really, really strong feeling in Wisconsin that we were just fed up and tired of recall elections over policy issues. And the recall should be held for malfeasance in office and other activities. So I'm optimistic. I also must say, though, there's mentioned the elections are still coming, the general elections, the presidential election. He is the leader of his party in Wisconsin now, the Governor Walker is. And so I think what he says between now and November is going to be not as important to me as what he says after November. I believe and hope that that he will read the results as I have, and as many will read them, and we'll just stop this this right wing lurch which occurred, and we'll get back to governing Wisconsin. I expect him to govern on the right side of the center. I just don't expect him. I hope he doesn't continue to govern as far to the right as he has up until now.
Let's go to Paula in Madison. Hi, Paula.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And I have a question, and my question is, do you think that we have a democracy in this country when you can buy votes and influence people or intimidate them, and also Scott Walker being the governor slash CEO hand out these merit pay bonuses. These all have some type of influence in people's decisions in their votes, and threatening of the citizens in the state.
All right, let's talk about the issue of money in politics. You've got to, it's something that simply needs to be addressed, because most people would say an obscene amount of money was spent in this election. You know, you could buy so many things with all of this money. What do you agree that it can be influential in if you give somebody a whole lot of money, you expect that you're going to get some kind of special attention from it? Please address the amount of money in politics right now. Senator Schultz.
Well, the first bill that I brought forward when I was majority leader, SB1, was campaign finance reform. I have been concerned about the influence of money in our elections for a long time, and I was proud that a majority of the GOP at that time voted for campaign finance reform. Certainly, for those of us who have watched the Citizens United decision, there's much to be fearful about, and that is what has unleashed this tidal wave of money which has washed up on the shores of Wisconsin. And, that's where the real action is going to be. There isn't a lot we in the legislature are going to be able to do that's going to stem the flow of that. And I'm hopeful that Justice Kennedy is going to revisit this issue in his conscience and will help modify what we have in front of us, because I do think that it is very discouraging for the ordinary citizen mm-hmm. when it comes to being involved in government.
Yeah.
When the amount of money is put into play, you go, well, why bother?
Yeah, it is so much money, Senator Cullen, isn't it?
Well, it is, and what it does is the citizen who wants to give $25 or $50 is not a fool, and they look at it and go, what does my $25 or $50 matter when millions are coming in from one person.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is the federal Supreme Court has to change that. We can't change that. What we can change is the campaign finance laws that govern us as candidates. And we ought to change the recall law so that incumbents can't raise unlimited amounts of money simply because they're an incumbent facing a recall. That's the Wisconsin law that we can change. We might want to change some of the criteria for recalls too. money, one of the things you can do is try to do is disclosure. At least start out, find out where the money's coming from. But the money is obscene. But yet the voters yesterday didn't seem to have voted on the money as much as they voted on the issue of a governor gets the someone elected to a term, gets to serve out his term, he gets his chance to be successful, and then you judge him in 2014. I think that was what pushed Governor Walker for somewhere in the 40s, up to 53 or 54%, I believe. And I hope that he reads it the same way. And if he does, we have a chance to kind of move the state forward. But the money has always been obscene. It's more obscene now than it ever was. I was fortunate enough to get elected in 2010 by spending $53,000.
Oh, my.
In total. We've had, but the independent expenditure groups that come in and kind of, you know, gobble up and silence the individual candidates committee, they stayed out of my race on both sides. So I was fortunate. It'll never happen again, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
We don't own
it. We have to say goodbye. We're out of time, gentlemen. Good luck on your tour together. I think you should go all over the state together. You know, why not? Go to the dairy farms, come to the cities.
Well, we've done that. We're going to Milwaukee Friday to participate in a panel at Marquette University Law School.
Oh, you are? Fabulous.
Yep.
All right. Great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
You had a great day for you.
Thanks. Our guest this part of the program, State Senators Tim Cullen, Democrat, and Dale Schultz, Republican. Thanks to Brett Jaspers and Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. Thanks to Mike Goucher for joining us, and thanks for all of your calls. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all of you. As you can imagine, we were pretty darn jammed with reaction to yesterday's election in the state of Wisconsin, but we'll talk more about it tomorrow, so put that on your calendar. Another hour to come, and that'll be after the news.